Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Fellow freelance journalist Lisa Hall Wilson started a conversation on the Canadian Writers Who Are Christian blog by writing, quote, "Art has always been a vehicle for social change, social commentary, but the art must come first, not the message." We're going to continue this conversation on tonight's broadcast with Lisa, who's on the phone with us from her home in London. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to "Sun Shine on Me" from the new "All Is Not Lost" CD by Saskatchewan's Flood the Stone. Lisa Hall Wilson. Good evening, Lisa.
Hey there, how are you?
Not bad. Now, before we get to our conversation about your blog post on art, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. When did your interest in writing begin?
I've been writing since I knew how to write. I always had a story in my head.
Well, when did you sort of realize that you wanted to start making a living out of this, or at least getting it published?
Probably about 2003, 2004, we moved from Thunder Bay to London, Ontario. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and I knew nobody in the city, and I was just plain bored. And I remembered how much I loved writing stories. And so I just kind of tinkered with it, and I found some like-minded friends at church, and then they invited me out to their writers group. And before I knew it, I was headed to Write Canada on a scholarship. And I had won an award, so I got to go for free, and that kind of launched the idea that maybe I could do this for a living, maybe I could make some money at it, but all I wanted to do was write fiction.
Well, did you ever sort of get to that epiphany that I know, and we've often talked about it at places like Write Canada, where you move from someone who wrote to now saying, I'm a writer? Was that experience one you went through?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And how did that sort of come about for you?
I don't think I really thought of myself as a writer until I happened to land a client almost by accident. I found a listing by a local nonprofit looking for a writer, and I thought, well, maybe I could do that. And when I got the job, I was stunned, and I thought, wow, I guess I'm a writer now. But I lived in fear for the first 6 months. I was sure they were going to figure out I was a fraud and fire me.
Well, looking back on it, like, who have been some of your influences as a writer? Who are the people that you read? Who are the people that you sort of looked up to as writers?
Wow. Well, I was a huge fan of The Black Stallion. So Walter Farley was a huge influence for me. I grew up actually reading a lot of Harlequin romances. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I spent a lot of time reading Harlequin romances, and I just really loved the way I could escape into a world, into a story, into these characters' lives, and just lose myself for hours at a time. So those early writing, that early reading was what kind of cemented my love of fiction and of writing stories to help you escape.
Well, saying that, and you said that you liked writing stories and that, you sort of moved into from the nonfiction genre. What led to you actually doing nonfiction and in a lot of cases journalistic stuff now?
Yeah, well, it was at Write Canada, and I was there trying to sell a novel to an agent. And I was talking to other writers and other editors there, and they said, you know, you really need to start writing for magazines and newspapers. It's a really great way to hone your skills and get a lot of practice. They're going to teach you how to write tight, how to write clean. You're going to have to meet a deadline. You're going to have to, you know, work on your integrity and just learn a lot of tools of the trade that are transferable to no matter what you're writing. And it turned out that I was actually pretty good at it, and I kept getting more and more articles published. And so I just found myself continuing to do that, and I found I really love it.
One of the things I like is that you put on your website that you say that you write, and I'm going to quote here, to further the work of faith-based nonprofits, bring awareness to social justice issues, and share the untold stories of the saints, end quote. What is it about those things that attract you, that, you know, working with nonprofits, the social justice issue, and sort of those untold stories of people that are out there just, you know, living their Christian life day to day without any thought of you know, anybody being interested in it?
I think part of it is just that I love a good story, whether it's fiction or real life, true tales. I love a good story, but I'm always drawn to the underdog, to the people who are just day by day doing what they feel God has called them to do. And whether that's, you know, a nonprofit trying to get out the stories of the work they're doing, of the people they're helping, I think so many of those stories go untold. And there's so many stories of the saints who are just, like I said, just putting one foot in front of the other and doing what they feel like God's called them to do. And they're not looking for attention. They're not looking for applause. But people are so encouraged by those stories. You know, I've seen people just, their faith, I guess, is what encourages people, and I always found that encouraging. So those are the kind of stories I tend to seek out and try and promote.
Well, and one of the things I've always found about doing those type of stories is actually getting those people to realize that somebody might be interested in hearing what they're doing, because that may inspire or encourage someone else. Do you ever have challenges, you know, talking to people and convincing them to say, let me tell your story, and then finally saying yes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's lots of people like, oh, nobody's going to care about that. You know, I'm nobody special. But I think when you drill down into the story and you learn why they're doing these things and the blessings that they receive, I think that there's always so much more to this story. And I worked with Teen Challenge for a while, so I was interviewing a lot of drug addicts recovering drug addicts, and many of them were prostitutes and had spent time in jail, and there's just so much shame involved in those stories, and there was so much of God's glory in them too. And I think that people tend to focus on the dark side of their stories and don't realize how much more that glorifies God.
Well, one of the things I see about you too is you do a lot of co-writing. What most writers like to work by themselves. What is it about co-writing that you find challenging?
Challenging? Well, the saying is two heads are better than one, and when you're writing, that's not always true. You have someone else you have to pass everything through. But I like to co-write because you have the solitary thing is nice, but there are times when you need that other person to say, you're not quite, you know, you can do better than this, or, you know, we can do this, and just kind of soldier through. And it's just having that partner to walk alongside you is really helpful.
What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our guest, journalist Lisa Hall Wilson. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Beautiful World from the All Is Not Lost CD by Flood the Stone. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with journalist Lisa Hall Wilson. Lisa, at the beginning of the program, I quoted a line you wrote that appeared recently in the writers, Canadian Writers Who Are Christian blog, and this is what you wrote. You said, "Art has always been a vehicle for social change, social commentary, but the art must come first, not the message." End quote. Sort of unpack that for us. What were you trying to get across in that statement?
I talked to a lot of Christian writers who are all about, getting across this message of faith. They love to write allegories, and it's all about the message, the message of salvation and evangelism. And those are great themes, and they're great messages. But the story has to come first. It really does. I mean, you look at something like Lewis's Narnia stories. I mean, there's so much there to unpack. Right, there's so many themes and great allegories and allusions, and it's just so rich. But it's a children's story. It started out as a children's story. That's what people fell in love with. And without the story of these four children who find a new world in a wardrobe, I mean, without that, the message kind of falls flat.
Well, there's always been this idea that we are to, like, there's a great commandment, go therefore and tell all the world. How do you balance that whole message art thing? Or for you, it sounds like art has to come first.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, Jesus told parables, which were really, they were stories and a message. I do. I think the art has to come first. You have to entertain. You have to draw them into the world you're creating, and then the message carries that much more truth and weight for them.
That entertaining aspect, it struck me. I was at a writer's workshop a couple weeks ago, and one of the presenters gave sort of the rules for writing, and they said, of course, the first rule for writing is thou shalt not bore. I think that, for me, I find that people don't feel that the message of God is something that should be entertaining, but it's the way that it's told.
Absolutely.
Okay. One of the things that you carry through the blog is citing Andy Crouch's book, Culture Making, Recovering Our Creative Calling. And that's actually been one of the influential books that I've picked up in terms of my own thinking in that. What is it about culture making that helped you develop this whole thought around art before message?
Well, what's interesting is I found that book through Ted Decker. I was on his website, and he listed that as one of the books he was reading, and so I picked it up as well. Because he's a writer who always had a lot of deep spiritual messages in all of his books, even though they're, embedded in really entertaining stories. I think that, as Christians, we can't simply imitate the art out there. We have to put our own spin on it, let them see it through our worldview, but it has to be the very best art we can create.
Well, the Andy Crouch, who actually is the on staff at Christianity Today, he sort of comes across in saying there are three responses to culture that Christians have made. One is to avoid it. One is to try and co-opt it, which is, sort of have Christian versions of what's popular out in the culture now. And the third, he said, which is the most effective, is to actually just make culture, make art out of our Christian worldview. Is that one of the things that you found resonating with yourself as well?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You go to a writer's conference and you try and sell a fiction book, and they want to know what time period you're writing in. And to be honest, I've been told by agents that if you're not writing about a figure from the Bible, or you're not writing about some kind of historical Western / Amish setting, Christians aren't interested in reading it. And that just blows my mind.
Well, you mentioned that you've gone to conferences where people have, all of a sudden you find someone who says, well, I write, you know, Christian, I write romance novels. And I know I've interviewed a couple of people on this program, Maggie K. Black, who does the love-inspired suspense stuff, Sandra Orchard, you know, all of these people that do even that type of thing. Why do you think that Christians have sort of set boundaries around what we should or shouldn't be writing?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. It baffles me. I wish I knew. I know that I don't fit in the box. I know that I don't write the things that other Christians think I should write, and I catch a lot of flack for that at times, in my fiction anyway. I think that we need to create new things. That's how culture changes. If we simply do what everyone else has always done, we're not creating anything new. We need to create new things to capture people's imaginations and draw them into the story and teach them things. And if we're just telling them the same story over and over and over again, how do we do that? It gets boring, right? I mean, essentially that's what romance is to a certain degree. I mean, it's very formulaic, but, I mean, to put a Christian worldview on it, I mean, that's something that's new. And these writers are pushing the envelope in terms of what Christians are willing to read in certain terms. And that's really exciting when people are willing to kind of stretch the limits of those boxes and say, you know what? What's wrong with this? Why can't we write about this?
Yeah, and I find too that also tends to run smack dab into the realities of the publishing world. You know that people are writing stories about, you know, Amish, you know, the Western historical Amish type things, because that's what's selling right now. How do you sort of get to the point where you, even as an individual writer, say, I'm going to write what I want to write, and my hope is that somewhere along the line it's going to get published, but I don't want to have to sort of box my stories into a specific genre or style or topic matter just so that I can sell 100 copies.
That's always a tough part, right? Because sometimes you have to just do what you have to jump through the hoops to get even your feet on the bottom rung of the ladder. I think I write the stories that I want to read. To be completely honest, and I'm sure I'm going to anger some people with this, but I don't tend to read a lot of Christian fiction. I feel like they're just the stories that publishers are putting out are the same stories over and over again. And not to demean the people who are writing those. That's not my intent, but. I mean, I want stories that are a little grittier. I want stories that are darker, and those are the kinds of things that I'm drawn to. And I'm talking to a lot of my friends who feel the same way. They're not reading Christian fiction either. You know, I mean, I'm talking to, you know, late 20-somethings, 30-somethings people who are not captured by that writing anymore. I mean, the people they're writing for are not my age, it seems like. And I thought, why can't we have fiction that we want to read? Why do we have to go to the secular writers and skip pages and pages of sex and other things? Why can't we put out art there that we want to enjoy? I don't understand why. I don't understand that mind block. But I think the internet has really opened up a lot of new avenues of publishing, and it's allowed us to reach those readers who are saying, I don't go to the Christian bookstore anymore. There's nothing there for me.
Well, and I mean, I've talked to other writers, and the same thing is happening. I mean, you've got people are getting to the point where they know what they need and what they want to write, and it's a matter of taking the different avenues and venues and ultimately finding. And there are some Christians that have are now not even approaching Christian publishers. They're going straight to mainstream publishers because that's where their potential publishing can be, and they're writing what they want to write.
Well, and you know what? I think that that's really important that Christians start doing that. We start breaking into the general market fiction, because otherwise, I mean, we're just preaching to the choir. If all we're doing is writing art for other Christians, I mean, how are we reaching anyone new with the message of hope? How are we showing people our worldview that we're not all just, you know, insane fundamentalists? I mean, we wrestle with the same things everyone else does. We just simply have a different worldview. We have hope. And I don't understand why Christians feel like they can only write for other Christians, why they feel like what they have to say, the art they want to create, would have no value to anyone outside of that circle.
Well, I'm gonna take a quick break again, one final break, and then I'm going to come back and wrap up our conversation with journalist Lisa Hall Wilson. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Broken from the All Is Not Lost CD by Flood the Stone. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with journalist Lisa Hall Wilson. Lisa, what's been the reaction to that blog post?
A lot of artists really agreed with it. They, you know, we championed it. Yeah, great idea. I love that idea. But I'll be interested to see where the rubber hits the road.
Have you had anybody sort of say to you that yeah, this resonates with me, and I really hope that to see more people focusing on the art as opposed to the message?
Yeah, I do. There are lots of people who are saying that. I find that they tend to be closer to my age. I don't know. Maybe that's just who's talking to me. But I find that there is that kind of shift. And especially the younger writers, those just breaking into it, who grew up on this secular or general market fiction. You know, they're like, yeah, we need to have this, the art needs to come first. Why can't we write this stuff?
So what's on your schedule right now? What are some of the things you're working on?
I'm always writing articles and searching out stories for that kind of thing. I write a column now for the Christian Herald that's syndicated in Calgary and Vancouver and London, where I interview prominent Canadians who are Christians, so that's been a lot of fun. And I have a book coming out this spring, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, who's the publisher?
I'm self-publishing it. Couldn't sell it to a publisher.
Ah, okay. So are you going to be doing a launch, going to be letting us know when it's coming out and everything like that?
Still a little bit in flux. We're working with our editor on the final edit, but we're hoping May-ish, late May maybe.
Well, if people are interested in finding out a little bit more about you and or even seeing some of the articles that you've already written, where can they do that?
Well, they can check out my website at lisahallwilson.com. I'm actually really active on Facebook. I hang out there way too much, so if you want to chat or get to know me more, you're probably better to find me on Facebook. You can just search for Lisa Hall Wilson on Facebook, and you'll find me there.
And that's Hall, H-A-L-L hyphen W-I-L-S-O-N. Okay. Well, Lisa, thanks very much for your time today. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Lisa Hall Wilson. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for it archived programs on our website at www.selawministries. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selah Ministries, email robert@selahministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @Selah13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.